here you'll see some of the types of ways that we use Oilkins. They're sun-dried as well as smoked.
Carrie Small explains what's in a display case in Northwest British Columbia's Nisga Museum. It's a gleaming glass-fronted building in a wide valley about 20 miles from the Alaska border. The valley surrounds the Nass River, home to the Nisga Nation and its tribal government, which is at the forefront of Canada's Aboriginal rights movement. Small points to a carved rectangular wooden dish used to process oolakans, also called candlefish or hooligan.
The bottom's laid with fern, and you kind of like cook it down, and that's how you create the grease. And this is oolakan grease. It's like liquid gold, you know? And it's one of the most valuable items still to this day.
The oolakan being called a survival fish because it's a very important part of our cycle of food that we get in abundance.
Kevin McKay is executive chairman of the Nisga government's legislature. He says the Nisga people depend on the health of the Nass River to keep the oolakan coming, as well as salmon. But they also need jobs. That's one of the reasons the tribal government signed an agreement this summer pledging support for the Kerr Sulphuretts Mitchell mine under development to the north.
I will tell you exactly what we said to our people, our citizens, and that is we have taken every measure and every opportunity to mitigate those environmental impacts throughout the life of the project.
KSM will store its tailings, ground up rock left over from ore processing, behind dams within the Nass River watershed.
We had some concerns with the original design that they had presented throughout the course of our negotiations.
McKay says those changes will cost the developer a couple $100 million. KSM says changes made to address Aboriginal concerns bring the amount to about $500 million.
Now, I dare say, without that significant move by the proponent, it may not have been possible for the parties to reach a mutual agreement.
Total development costs for the mine are estimated at $5.3 billion. McKay says the Nisga agreement with KSM also provides lump sum payments, training, jobs, and environmental protections.
There are no 100% guarantees. We go into this with our eyes wide open.
You know, I just firmly believe that this is a bad idea.
Ketchikan's Rob Sanderson Jr. co-chairs the Southeast Alaska-based United Tribal Transboundary Mining Work Group. It's backed by the Tlingit-Haida Central Council, as well as several communities' tribal governments. All the groups say the KSM and other near-boundary mines could threaten the Yunik, the Stikine, or the Taku Rivers, which flow from Canada into Alaska.
We live in a very seismic area of the world. And one of our big concerns about the KSM is the scale.
They're not just concerned about when the mines are operating. Sanderson and other critics worry about the decades or centuries after they close when tailings dams fail.
You know, if they get up to capacity and production, we have a catastrophic event. You know, that pretty much puts southeast Alaska into a dead zone.
Those objections won the backing of the Washington, D.C.-based National Congress of American Indians this summer. It's urging Congress, the White House, and the State Department to push Canadian officials to increase environmental scrutiny, but the KSM's environmental protection plans are close to approval, and the Red Chris mine, owned by the same company that had the dam collapse, is already extracting ore within the Stikine River watershed. KSM developers have also won support from the Gitxsan Nation, a British Columbia Aboriginal government east of Nisga territory. Another tribal group, the Gitnyau Hereditary Chiefs, had opposed the project, but also signed an agreement this summer.
What we're concerned about is the tailings facility that does drain into Gitnyau territory.
Fish and wildlife biologist Kevin Koch works for the Gitnyau Fisheries Authority, a branch of that government. He says mining's impacts may not be immediately obvious.
When some metal or element of some kind is released into water, it might not directly kill fish, but it might impair some part of their physiology or their behavior. You know, they might lose their ability to avoid predators, that sort of thing.
It also might affect salmon's sense of smell, which makes it hard to find their spawning grounds. The Gitnyau's KSM agreement is not a full endorsement. Rather, it sets some rules and guarantees the tribal government is part of environmental monitoring.
For Gitnyau to feel that their territory is protected, they need to be directly involved. They need to have people on the ground taking part in the work, analyzing the work, reporting directly to the chiefs, rather than, you know, government or industry just reporting annually.
Gitnyau staff have done field work studying salmon and moose habitat. Mine proponents say that's part of the assessment process required by government regulators. Brent Murphy is spokesman and top environmental official for Seabridge Gold, the Kerr Sulphurates Mitchell Mines developer.
The guiding principle behind the design of the KSM project was the protection of the downstream environments.
Other mining projects concerning tribal groups are Galore Creek and Shaft Creek in the Stikine River watershed and Tulsiqua Chief near the Taku River. This is Ed Schoenfeld.